Hello, everyone. My name is Bruce McConnell, Global Vice President of the East-West Institute. Welcome to another episode of the EWI podcast, a platform where we explore some of today's key global issues with leading thinkers and analysts. Today, I have the pleasure of welcoming Peter Altabef, Chairman and CEO of Unisys and co-chair of the President's National Security Telecommunications Advisory Committee, the NSTAC, and their Cybersecurity Moonshot Subcommittee. Peter, welcome to the EWI podcast.
Thank you, Bruce. It's a pleasure to be here.
One can argue that cybersecurity is at a critical inflection point as we're becoming more dependent on connected digital technologies. Addressing the challenge of cybersecurity will depend on a coordinated action across private industry, government, and academia. One of the groups that is playing a critical role on this issue is the President's NSTAC, and in particular, the Cybersecurity Moonshot Committee. So that is the starting point of our conversation today. Peter, can you briefly describe the NSTAC and the Moonshot Subcommittee, what they're up to?
Sure. NSTAC is, as you mentioned, it was established at a presidential level. It was President Reagan who established NSTAC in 1982. But during that same year, it became official, if you will, and permanent by an act of Congress. So NSTAC has been around now for 36 years. And during that time, it has really evolved. It started as a committee that would look at making sure in times of national emergency, whether through war or natural causes, the telephone network, which had recently been separated into seven different Bell companies, would continue to survive and work intact. Obviously, in 36 years, that's evolved now to looking not only at telephones, but looking at infrastructure, looking at the internet, looking at data centers, looking at networks. And it's also evolved from an understanding of, let's just worry about when we're attacked or when there's an international emergency, to, in the context of cybersecurity, there's a constant level of attack. So it has really become, if you will, a committee that is looking at how do we protect the data and communications infrastructure, and how do we do that understanding that technology is changing and evolving very rapidly.
Okay, so in that context then, the committee has decided to take on a special project, right, which you're calling this Moonshot. So why is it a moonshot?
Well, that's a great question, Bruce. The committee formally launched the Moonshot project in February of this year, and we will be submitting a report to the White House in November of this year. And the idea behind why it is a moonshot, it's an analogy that can be stretched too far, but if you look at the need for an audacious goal, if you look at the need to really understand the danger that the country is in, it does reflect, if you will, the John F. Kennedy 1961 situation where we thought we were really in danger of being overtaken in a technology perspective by other parts of the world. And we needed a whole of nation, not just a government initiative, to kind of get back our mojo and kind of regain leadership. That's very much what this is about. This has to be a whole of nation effort. It is not going to be done only by the government. But just like that moonshot, the government needs to have a leadership role. This is not something that private sector, frankly, can do by itself. So it needs to have a leadership role with government. At that point, the analogy begins to break down, and I'll tell you why. When President Kennedy announced the moonshot in 1961 to put a man on the moon and bring him or her back safely, we knew where the moon would be at any point in time for the foreseeable future. Astrophysics was really clear. We knew where the moon would be, and we just had to get there and come back. With the cybersecurity moonshot, when you're talking about making the internet safe and secure for certain transactions or certain situations, while we know where that is today, we don't know where that's going to be in 3, 4, 5, 10 years. Because technology, both from an offensive and a defensive situation, is evolving. So this is, if you will, a moonshot where you have to have a pretty good educated guess of where things are evolving and make sure you stay ahead of an evolving curve. That's where the analogy breaks down, because honestly, in that respect, this is more difficult than that initial moonshot.
And as you know, being a member of the East-West Institute board, our mission is to solve these problems on an international basis. And one of the things that's changing in the world, in the location of the moon, if you will, that you're shooting for, is the fact that the internet, which used to be basically a creature of U.S. industry and the U.S. Developed it, has now become a creature of the world, and many more foreign companies and whatnot are involved in its creation and its operation. U.S. companies are dependent on foreign companies. So when you think about this as the whole of nation and in making sure that America is safe in cyberspace, do you factor in the global nature of the problem?
Well, to some extent, Bruce, that's one of the hearts of this issue, because we are a presidential commission. Our goal is to keep America safe, but to do that, by definition, in this interdependent world, you have to be broader than that. And it goes beyond simply a few close allies, because the internet is global. I will tell you that the framework we're putting together, while it is ostensibly an American framework, there is nothing to prohibit other countries, and I am sure other countries will consider joining into that framework, and that framework will then evolve as it gets broader, because it will be much more effective the more broader it gets. But you have to not boil the ocean. You have to really start with a very, very clear perspective of what do you need to happen? What concrete steps do you take? And this is a very tangible effort. And so it's not impossible to define it on a national basis, knowing that you need international cooperation for that to happen, mm-hmm. and expect that it will happen.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and it's trying to set a path out there that many people can follow with us or alongside us.
Yes. And as I said, I do expect it to evolve. There's no monopoly on good thinking in the United States on this issue. I mean, some of the best thinkers in the world are all over the world. Now, we have had a series of briefings as part of this with security experts from all over, including, and I want to thank you, Bruce, yourself. And it was, it's been one of the high points, I think, of this process over the last almost year now, to see so many people with such a passion to really create a safer, more secure internet, and with the recognition that this isn't just defensive. We think about the harm that could be caused by, the internet going down and people not feeling secure. Think about the advantage that we have as a society if people feel secure in the internet, more secure than perhaps the latest news would allow people to believe, and then economy continues to grow. So this is both a glass half empty and a glass half full, because we really think if we do this right, we're unleashing additional efforts for the economies of all of these countries to grow.
Well, I think that's right. And there was a recent study by the Commerce Department that showed people are starting to not sign up for online services because of privacy and security concerns. So it's a definite potential drag on the economy, if you will, if we don't get this.
That's the glass half empty, and that's a very significant glass. It doesn't take a crisis or an actual attack for people to begin to slowly lose confidence. And if they slowly lose confidence drip by drip and stop using it or don't use it to its fullest extent, that's almost as damaging as if people react to an actual crisis. So it's that psychological part that is one of the elements here. And I will tell you, as we think about the moonshot, one of the architectural elements we put into this project is not to think only about technology. So, obviously you can't do this without knowing about blockchain and without knowing about quantum and without knowing about artificial intelligence and having a view of where those things might go. But if you stop and think only about technology, we won't be successful. So we have purposefully created multiple pillars in this analysis. And so in addition to going out beyond only a few years, we're also going wide. And that includes privacy concerns. That includes education. That includes policy. That includes what we call the ecosystem of having all of these things work together. It includes behavioral dynamics. You can take people, to the edge and say, here's how you do it, but will people actually do it? So it is really at the intersection of technology and all of these other things that we think we'll need to get to be successful.
Are you finding in the experts that are coming to see you, which range from old internet pioneers to the youngest innovators. I mean, are some really fresh ideas coming up in this context? Because we've plowed this ground before in some ways.
We have. And you know, to some extent, there's been a little skepticism because there are so many people who have worked on cyber issues for so long. But they all recognize that we as a country and we as a society going even beyond this country are not where we need to be. And what is the dynamic that's going to change that? So we're not trying to recreate the technology wheel. We are trying to take that wheel and look out beyond the next margin, especially when you talk with some people who are in the middle of the cyber fight. They tend to look at what's happening over the next 6 months. They tend to look at the latest breach. They tend to look at the latest attack. We're going out multiple years and saying, how do we defend against that, which hasn't existed yet? But I think the real element that distinguishes this effort, beyond the fact that we want to leave the incremental and go further out in time, there are two ideas. One is the whole of nation idea. This is going to be architected as a government-led effort that includes both private industry, it includes academia. As I mentioned, there's a bunch of behavioral stuff here that academia is really well qualified for and almost no one else. And it includes private citizens. So it's everybody in this. And then secondly, it is this multi-pillar approach. Most of the folks who have spent years and years in cybersecurity have done it with a technology mind frame. And we are really broadening that to these other pillars. And we think that's a difference maker.
You mentioned that you have to kind of look ahead, not knowing about what's going to happen. And I was thinking about this at one point about, well, what was it like, say, 10 years ago? So 10 years ago, the iPhone was announced. Today, there's 4 billion smartphones in the world. 10 years ago, 100 million people were on Facebook. Now, 2.3 billion people are on Facebook, and it's influencing elections in Western countries. Obviously, none of us could have predicted those things 10 years ago. And if we had, people would be like, what? What are you talking about? So do you think that the approach is to admit that you can't predict the future and put us all in a position to be able to be agile and resilient? Or are you going to look at some technology scenarios, development scenarios, and try to game those?
So, Bruce, that's an outstanding question. And the first way I would answer it is to say that what we see our role as being is in creating a framework. So we do not intend in what we submit to the administration in November to give a lot of hard and fast answers and say, you have to do A, B, and C. We are really creating a framework for what will be a multi-year activity and what really we think is the beginning of a national conversation and not the end. So if you had to choose between being prescriptive and being flexible, we would over-index on the agile and flexible. However, we're also very specific. So, you know, if you don't set very specific goals, no one will know whether this is successful, and then people will get less interested. So it is a balance of the specific and the agile. With respect to your technology question, you're exactly right. I think no one has a crystal ball as to what will happen in 10 years. We have a pretty good idea about the next 3 or 4, and that alone is pretty daunting. So I think we've got to start, and with the framework, we expect this to be taken up by government and taken up by those other interested parties, and we expect this to really be a continuing evolution. So it's not for the faint of heart.
So when you say a framework, obviously there's a kind of a conceptual framework. There may be almost some kind of architectural framework, I'm not sure, but in part what you're talking about is an institutional framework that will be able to pick up the ball from this and whatever other things are good and presumably would require some action explicitly by the president and even the Congress to get going.
Well, I think if you take a lead from the title of our subcommittee, which is a cybersecurity moonshot, and you think about the role of the Kennedy administration in not only launching that, but really putting the nation behind it, that is going to be part of this. Again, if you go back to that analogy without stretching it too far, there were organizations. I mean, NASA really grew up because of that cybersecurity moonshot. So there will be, if you will, the idea of how do we actually implement this. How does that affect the government? How does it affect the private sector? How does it affect the work with academia? You know, we've had in the past 5 years some really effective efforts at the government and the private sector and academia working together. You know, some of the work around cancer, some of the work around the Human Genome Project, some of the grand challenges that have come out have been very effective. Maybe not evening news effective, but very effective. Now, the original moonshot was both effective and evening news effective. And I have to tell you, we're aiming for that because we really believe that from a technology standpoint, cybersecurity, it is really the danger of our time. It is the thing that can most damage our global economy. It is the thing that can most damage our national economy and most damage the quality of our life. So we really are aiming for the first moonshot and not kind of the subsequent ones.
Well, on the couple points on that, one, I would agree that cybersecurity is kind of the most imminent threat. There are other big threats, global climate change.
I spoke specifically of technology.
Of technology. Okay, but I think that one doesn't have to decide whether it's the most important or not. It's the most immediate and has a huge implication for everything that we do, including solving some of those other problems. But I wanted to ask you, you mentioned NASA. So in fact, you're right, NASA was stood up by the Kennedy administration. And if you look at the historical budget of NASA as a proportion of the US discretionary budget, the space program started out at about 2%, and there was a period of about 5 or 6 years where it went up and doubled and was 4% of the budget, and then went back down and has now been at 2% for a while, and now it's somewhere between 1% and 2%. The current OMB estimates of cybersecurity spending in the US government itself is 2%. So this sounds like it might cost some money. How are you guys thinking about that?
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, 2% is a lot of money. So there's a lot of money being spent today. And one of the real questions is that being spent in the most effective way? We have a bit of a balkanized approach to cybersecurity. And here I'm talking about the defensive part. I'm not talking about the offensive. And there are a lot of agencies involved. There's no question in my mind that there should be a lot of agencies involved. You know, almost everything is now a computer, and it affects almost everything that the government does in all of those agencies. However, you know, I think there is an argument, and again, the committee has not spoken, and will make a final determination between now and November, but there's certainly an argument that we need more coordination in the federal government around this rather than less. We need to make sure that we are focused on this and spending our money the correct way. And that goes beyond the current efforts into R&D. Right? It talks about, you know, are we investing and are we focused enough in things like quantum? Are we really taking advantage of what is now a mature technology in artificial intelligence? And are we really using artificial intelligence in the way that it can be best used in the cyber context? The 5G is another technology that is in the news, and for good reason. 5G in many ways changes the playing field by which the cyber warfare will be waged. And you know what we do and the leadership role we have in 5G is going to be very important in that. And each of those are not immaterial in terms of government funding. But the role government has, the balance between private and public sector, are all things that have to be dealt with, and we think pretty quickly.
Right. I mean, the government has multiple roles, as you point out. It can stimulate research. It can be a great convener of people, it can be a regulator, it can actually spend money on its own defense. All these pieces have to be harmonized, is what you're suggesting?
It can do all of those things, and those things will either be done or not done by default, right? I mean, not making a decision is making a decision. And there are efforts underway in every one of those areas. But I think what we are trying to put on the table through the work of the subcommittee is a sense of urgency. This is not just an audacious goal, it's a necessary goal. And you know, we have kind of allowed time to pass in cyber for, honestly, a couple of decades now. And we think it is really time to kind of say, we need a national whole-of-nation effort to do this. And that's different, I believe, than what we've had in the past.
I used to, and still, and to some extent, judge the maturity of a conversation around cyber or any other issue by the amount of time is spent describing and admiring the problem, as opposed to describing and coming up with developing solutions to the problem. And I agree with you, we spent a lot of time in the last 20 years describing the problem.
We have, and it's not a simple problem. But, you know, we haven't wasted that time. We actually understand a great deal more than we did 5 years ago or 3 years ago. And I think that in your context about describing the problem, it's a moving target. That problem will change. But we know enough now to know we need to do this.
So are there ways for our listening audience to tap into this, to understand what's going on, to make suggestions, et cetera?
There are. So NSTAC, again, is a government commission. There is a website, www.nstac.org, and our work is public. So we have already published on that site work about the Cybersecurity Commission, and the Cybersecurity Committee's report, when adopted, will be made public on that website. So there's a lot of stuff going on, and as I said, you can directly link into that through our website.
So one of the things that's unique, I think, the government has over 1,000 advisory committees on various topics, but one of the things that is unique about the NSTAC is not only its long history, but the fact that it's a presidential advisory committee. And sometimes, certainly in my day, the president would come to meetings. What's the level of support at the senior most levels of the administration?
Well, those of you who follow the NSTAC know that when we really formally presented an early view of this project, we did that in May of this year, and Vice President Pence attended that and actually endorsed that effort quite publicly in the couple of days after that, and at a Department of Homeland Security event last month, also publicly endorsed the moonshot effort. So I would say to you, Bruce, I think we're getting very significant attention at the administration.
So the end result of this, as you say, is to give the president a report in November, which has recommendations in it. And what's the plan for getting it done?
You know, NSTAC, as we discussed, has been in existence for 36 years. And during that time, this is not the first report that we've been asked to do by an administration. That is the purpose of the NSTAC. So you will see, if you go back to our reports, which are available on that website, we have been asked to tackle items such as data center integrity, such as network integrity, such as bots, and in fact, emergency preparedness by the United States government. And so I think you will find we have a good track record of having these reports taken up by the appropriate government agencies, whether that's the administration at the time or that's the agencies charged with the specific subject matter and actually implementing those. So we have a pretty good track record of this thing actually taking off after we issue these reports. And one of that is the way we do this. There are 20, I would say, of the leading technology companies and telecommunication companies in the country engaged in this. We work very closely with academia. We work very closely with the government agencies themselves. So we really try to be holistic when putting these together and try to make sure that we're not really surprising folks.
In fact, it sounds like you're really trying to build a coalition of people who will be excited about this.
Very much so. And I actually hope this podcast is helpful in that respect.
We talked at the beginning about how this is a U.S. effort and it's an international problem, an international issue. What's happening that you're aware of in other countries that will kind of feed into this or track with it or go in some other direction that's relevant?
Bruce, that's a great question, too. There are other countries that are approaching cybersecurity with a view of how really to protect their citizens and to some extent approaching it in broader than only the technology piece. So if you look at the UK in particular, the UK has had an effort that says, this isn't just about technology, it's how do we communicate with our citizens? How do we make sure that we're asking people to do what they need to do to help? I believe that you will find that we're taking, I hope, the best of that UK approach and perhaps expanding the breadth of this particular project. And then, you know, we're piggybacking off that and maybe they'll piggyback off this.
Well, I think we're about to close the show here, and I'd like to thank Peter Altabef for joining us and sharing your perspective on the NSTAC and the Moonshot project, which is very exciting. So it's been great having you here, and I look forward to our next opportunity to talk together.
Thank you, Bruce, very much.
Remember to look for the EWI podcast on our website, SoundCloud, and iTunes under the name of East West Institute, where you can listen, follow, and subscribe so you won't miss our conversations. Thank you for listening.